يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Hateful in the sight of Allah as you say that which you do not do. Once you know something, you say this is from your deen, and then you don't do it, and this is hateful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks, the most generous or the most noble is the one that has the most taqwa of Allah. And taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do what Allah commands and to stay away from what Allah prohibits. This is to have taqwa. How do you know if you have taqwa or not? Whenever you hear the Quran or the Sunnah commanding you to do something or prohibiting you from doing something, you know, to the best of my ability, every commandment I hear, I'm doing. And you know that to the best of your ability, everything that you're supposed to be staying away from, you're staying away from. And this is having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this person the most generous or the most noble from amongst us. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, if we look at it in light of our own understanding, most of the time if somebody was asked who's the most noble or who's the most generous, maybe the first thing that might come to our minds is somebody's family. He's from a wealthy family, he's doing good, he's the one with the money. He might not be the most generous. Wallahi, sometimes the most poorest amongst us might be the most generous. The poorest from amongst us might be the most generous. And the wealthiest from amongst us might be the most stingiest. So don't think because you look at somebody's size of his house, the size of his car, or he say he works here, or he works there, or he has such and such a position, that this is going to make him noble or generous. But it's the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that raises someone and places someone on this level, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained in answering the question of the thief, who's the most noble, noblest, or who's the most generous. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is correcting the understanding of the people. And they say, no, we're not asking about that, Ya Rasulullah. Alright, but the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is answering the people, not all the time what they're asking about, but what they need. And sometimes when this is done, I know some of the brothers feel offended. They're asking a question, and then they get an answer, and then they say, no, I wasn't asking about that. I know. But you can tell from somebody's question what he needs to hear. Who's the most noblest? As we're going to see in the end, the Prophet ﷺ said, you're asking me about the lineage of the Arabs. Yeah, that's what we're trying to find out. Who the best? I'm from this tribe, he from that tribe. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam know what they're asking, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wants to give them an answer that's better. Maybe some of the people think because he's from this city and they want that one from that city. How he gonna think he sent me from that city? I'm from this city. Or I used to do this, he used to do that, or whatever. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam shows the one who is better from amongst us is the one who has the most taqwa. The brother or the sister, when they hear the Quran, they say they hear and obey. When they hear the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, they say we hear and we obey. These are the people the best from amongst us. Don't think because he don't have no money he's not the most noble from amongst us. Or he's not the most generous from amongst us. That taqwa is what's going to put him on that position. The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put a person on that position. What's going to make a person generous? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowing that the encouragement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to be generous. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most generous of the people, and he was even more generous in the month of Ramadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some of the people used to describe him, he's giving out wealth like he owns the world or something like that. Every time they ask, yes. As someone used to say, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam never said no. Ya Rasulullah, I'm poor. Can I have all those camels over there? Yes. Ya Rasulullah, can I have? Yes. Ya Rasulullah, yes. You don't want anything? The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy on you. The generous, this characteristic comes from fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't come from money, like everybody keeps saying. If I had $1 million, what I'd do? You ain't going to do nothing. If you have some taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're going to do something. People got $1 million. What they doing? People have $1 billion. What they doing? You act like the millionaires are the most generous people. They're just walking around giving money. Around taking and making money. That's why they're millionaires. The generous people are the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not asking you about that, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet ﷺ wasn't worrying about what they're asking about. He's given us guidance. Don't think because they wasn't asking about that and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam answered, ain't no benefit in that. Benefit. Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is benefiting us with the knowledge that he's imparted to us, even if we're asking about something else. We're asking about something else because we have too many desires that we follow. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who doesn't speak on his own desires, he speaks from revelation revealed to him, is giving us that which will benefit us. We're not asking about that, Ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, Yusuf, the son of the Prophet, the son of Khalilullah. The Prophet of Allah, the son of a Prophet, the son of Khalilullah. Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's saying if somebody is going to be noble or generous, then it runs in the family. Yusuf has prophethood, father Yaqub, his father Ishaq, his father Khalilullah Ibrahim salawatullahi wa salam alayhim ajma'in. I heard the ulama when they take a look at this point, they say as this is some advice from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us about a group of people. If you want to know about a group of people, take a look at what background they come from. This in general, this doesn't mean specific. Some people might have a lineage of doing good and they do wrong. But a lot of times people have a background of something and then he's following in line with what his father and grandfather did from the good characteristics, then you see that that person is noble because he's coming from a background of it and it only encourages him to be even stronger in that. Like some of the people are doctors, then their son is a doctor, then his son is a doctor. And then if the grandson is on his way to becoming a doctor, what you think? More than likely, he's going to be like that. And some of the ulama, they use this in the case, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us to be on top of guidance. When you want to choose a wife, you want to look for a good wife, see how the mother was. The mother wasn't no good, what do you think the daughter's going to be? You say the daughter's going to be good because I looked at her. And I know full and well ain't no way in the world that girl can be nothing other than good. Instead of knowing that the girl came from a mother who was on her deen, or good in raising the children and having the children, and you want to pick a lady who's coming from a background of doing good, and it looks like she's on her way to do good, more than likely she's going to do good, she's coming from that background. And if it looks like she's doing a little bad and she's coming from a background that's doing bad, and maybe she might wind up like that too. Look out. This might be some advice for us that be needed when we're getting married to check people out and see where people come from and what they was about, because sometimes you get what you was looking for. And this is advice for us in general to know who we're dealing with, that people have some qualities or capabilities that kind of run in the family and the people pick it up. And this is wisdom for us from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that sometimes if we're looking for certain qualities or capabilities or people to handle certain responsibilities, you look for the people who come from a background of handling those responsibilities or come from a background of handling those capabilities and so on and so forth, because more than likely they're going to handle that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That inshallah we hope is going to be more of a discussion. I'll just make that short. More of a discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to stay together as a jama'ah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to intermarry amongst ourselves and to grow and get our numbers large, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and show His mercy on us, that in the last hour is not established, maybe a couple generations down the line, then, you know, they might be able to take a deeper look at this advice and guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it might benefit us. Like it's used often in the Muslim lands where everybody is Muslim, then people taking a more serious look at this. And a lot of times in our case it might be a little more difficult, as the families might be kufar and so on and so forth, and it might be a little more difficult to judge them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They're not asking you about that, Ya Rasulullah. I know you're asking me about the lineages of the Arabs. Which tribe is the best and what have you. The Messenger of Allah say people on different levels. The best of you in Jahiliyyah is the best of you in Islam, provided that he has a fiqh of his deen. Now this is the one that really affects us the most, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Here the Messenger of Allah knows best, is referring to the individual. That individual may have had something with him in Jahiliyyah that was a good characteristic or a good quality. Maybe he had good character. Maybe he was truthful. Maybe he was used to making money. Maybe he was used to spending his money wisely. Maybe he was good at handling a business. Or whatever the case might be, from some qualities, maybe he had a skill of carpentry, or electrician or something like that in Jahiliyyah, and that quality that he brought to Islam is going to make him from amongst the better people if he gets a fiqh in this deen. Now this point is important for us to understand, because oftentimes we forgot this part of the hadith, because most of the people used to say the best in Jahiliyyah are the best in Islam. I was better than you in Jahiliyyah, I'm better than you in Islam. Or, I had a doctor's degree in Jahiliyyah, now we all Muslim. Alright, you was a high school dropout in Jahiliyyah, now you Muslim. I was a doctor in Jahiliyyah, now I'm Muslim. And better than you in Jahiliyyah, better than you in Islam. Right? A doctor not better than a high school dropout? Huh? Alright, they both become Muslim, why the doctor not better? Yeah, that's the part that we forget. That doctor might not be on no deen after Islam. This we keep forgetting. Everybody Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. But everybody's not on their deen like they're supposed to be. And whoever's on their deen is going to put the person on another level than the one who's not on his deen. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا فَقُهُ, if he gets a fit of this deen. And this kind of relating to what we were discussing yesterday morning that we really didn't go into, on respecting those people who have come before us in the deen of al-Islam, or our elders, or what have you, that the issue of knowledge is going to come into play. Because whatever quality you had before Jahiliyyah, you might bring it into Islam with you. Like many of the people have a lot of qualifications, I don't want to mention them because it might seem like I'm pointing the finger at some of the Muslims. And sometimes I wish I could, may Allah forgive us. They brought magnificent qualities with them into Islam. But they never got on their deen. And they think that these magnificent qualifications is going to advance Islam. It's not going to advance Islam. You're not going to benefit Islam and the Muslims till you have some taqwa and you have some fiqh. Otherwise you ain't benefiting nothing. Not your own soul and no one else. You might be looked at as being Mr. Qualified. And just as we were mentioning yesterday, there's going to be some people who are looked at as Mr. Qualified that will be dragged on their face in the fire of Jahannam because they wasn't sincere. Like the Mujahid, who wasn't fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, the one who was giving his wealth, he was just giving it so the people say, look how generous he is. The one who learned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen so that people could say he's a alim, sheikh, whatever. And the people that say that. So his qualifications earned him that praise from the people, but no reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And sometimes really no benefit for this deen of al-Islam. So those magnificent qualifications that the people bring with them to Islam is not necessarily going to be looked at and weighed with the same yardstick or measuring tool that's going to scale that's used in Jahiliyyah. In Jahiliyyah, the brother went on to medical school, graduated, got his own profession, whatever. You're not going to be like the high school dropout, moving from job to job to job to job. That one's going to be looked at as a little better than him. But when he comes into Islam, now, if they both learn and practice Islam, that one who has those magnificent qualifications is going to be on a better level. He has more to offer than the other person. But if he doesn't learn his Islam and practice his deen, then what he brought is not going to carry him. And we have said that oftentimes before when we're trying to get things moving here in East Orange, and we were trying to reach out to the people who are qualified. Some of the people are saying, don't just reach out for me. You ain't going to be able to move without me. Because in this world, you need these type of qualifications, and if you don't have them, you can't do nothing. They ain't on no type of deen. So I'm really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He's going to do is, all the magnificent qualifications that you got with no deen that we need, Allah, if we need them, Allah is going to replace you with another people that won't be like you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give another people those magnificent qualifications and place them on this deen so you can see that that's what you should have been on. And that we'll know that this is the one we needed and you're not the one we needed. And that the people don't have to rely on somebody just because he has something to offer. But what he has to offer is going to offer and benefit when he learns and practices Islam. And this part of the hadith has to always be said, the best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam. Don't stop. Add the rest of it, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا فَقُهُ. If they get an understanding of this deen, that's coupled with practice. If you don't learn and practice no Islam, it don't make no difference what you done brought into Islam with you. It ain't going to help you and ain't going to help the Muslims. And we see right now, as we always say, we have everything we need amongst the Muslims as far as qualifications. Why we don't have what we need? As I mentioned before, even though may Allah reward the doctors and as they give their wealth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Wallahi, our doctors strong enough to have a Muslim hospital anytime they want to say, let's have a Muslim hospital. Our Muslim doctors and people in the medical field who are Muslim, strong enough to run any hospital for the Muslims that they want. And how could it not be that way when they're running them for the kuffar? But what you think is preventing them from running it for us, go look at their deen. And this is what's going to determine what's what. When you start looking at the deen of the people, then you see really where the people at. And you see what's going to benefit al-Islam. If you start looking at all of the professions, you find that the Muslims are strong in all of them professions. But when you see that knowledge and that know-how and how it's impacting and benefiting Islam and the Muslims, then it's a whole other picture. Why is it a whole other picture? Because you have to have a fiqh of this deen. An understanding of this deen coupled with actions, then what qualifications you had that were good in Jahiliyyah, and when you brought them to Islam, they'll be good for you in Islam. But when you come to Islam, if you don't get that understanding of Islam and the practice of Islam, then it's not really going to benefit. And everybody should take a look at what he has to offer. Or what type of qualifications that he has. And to see if it's going to benefit Islam and the Muslims or not. And benefit his soul or not. It's only going to take place when you have an understanding of this deen that's coupled with practice of this deen. This is really kind of taking us back to the ayat that we were doing the tafsir of the other day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. As far as the one who fears the standing before his Lord and holds back himself from following his desires, then indeed for that person is Jannah. I remember someone was asking me when I had first come back, what are you going to do in America? All right, you went, you studied all those years, you coming back, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to try to do my best to stand on these two ayahs and to call the Muslims to these two ayahs. What's those two ayahs? As far as the one who fears his Lord, the standing before his Lord, and holds back himself from his desires, indeed Jannah is for him as his final abode. I remember one of the people of leadership asking me, all that studying you did, all you want to do is come back and teach the Muslims that they have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their belief and their worship and their actions, and that their belief, worship, and actions must be in accordance with Islam, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, with the understanding and the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the Ulama of this Deen. And you say, if you do that, everyone's going to be successful. That's what you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. You telling me that we're going to build hospitals, schools, masjids, malls, businesses, and everything for the Muslims with sincerity and adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf, that's going to make us successful? Exactly. Brother, I don't understand you. I said, really? Maybe I don't even understand. Maybe I'm just too young and haven't seen enough to understand. But the little I've seen and the little I know is that if Allah says, indeed Jannah is His final abode, and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often when He mentions Jannah, He says, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that is the most, and that is the supreme achievement, that this is real success. Success to me now is not the success that I used to have before I accepted Islam. Before I accepted Islam, success was different. We got all of these businesses, and we did all of these hospitals, if you did this, did that, all of that was success. Now success is sincerity and obedience. If you got them on your side, you're going to be successful. Because the one that's successful is the one who goes to Jannah. And the one who is a loser is the one who goes to hell. What's the path to Jannah? Sincerity and obedience. What's the path to the hellfire? The absence of those two. So just because somebody has qualifications, the kuffar qualify, why ain't all the doctors going to heaven? Going to Jannah because they doctors. Why aren't all the accountants going to Jannah because they're accountants? All the engineers going because they're all engineers. All the CEOs of these big corporations going to Jannah because he's the CEO of the biggest corporation. And where you get that mentality, except from the kuffar, if you Muslim thinking that, that's going to carry you into Jannah. Wallahi, we have a whole new yardstick that everything is supposed to be looked at in light of. The whole community development is going to be looked at in light of adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah. What's going to make things move forward? Sincerity and adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah. If there was another way other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have called us to that way. If there was another way other than sincerity and obedience, Allah wouldn't have called us to that. But Allah called us to what is best for us in this world and in the hereafter. And here in this hadith, if we reflect on it, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is not denying good qualities in people. And He's not denying that these good qualities can make you above the people who don't have those qualities. But it's conditional that you have the fiqh of this deed, or that you have the taqwa of this deed, or that you have sincerity and obedience. When you have the sincerity and obedience, then those qualifications will make you, in fact, qualified and responsible and above the people who don't have them, and it can benefit yourself and Islam and the Muslims when it has that sincerity and it has the obedience. So really, when we want to look at being successful across the board in whatever we do, it has to have those two principles of sincerity, or conditions of sincerity and obedience. When that sincerity and obedience is there, you're going to be a winner. However you look at it, you're going to win. Either you're going to die doing what you were supposed to do and win with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah is going to bless you with the good results in this world of those skills and qualifications that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with because you have that sincerity and that taqwa. Let's not look at success except in light of the Quran and the Sunnah. And let's not look at magnificent qualifications of them benefiting Islam and the Muslims except that they couple with knowledge of this deen and practice of this deen. Nobody's going to be sincere and obedient without knowledge. Nobody's going to be sincere and obedient without knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا فَقُهُ. If he gets an understanding of this deen with practice. No matter what field you're in, you have to learn some Islam. No matter what field you're in, you have to learn Islam. Just like nowadays, most of the people, the white collar job people, most of them learn politics. Watch Nightline, read the New York Times, and they end the business, real estate, whatever. No matter what their profession is, they're all talking about global events, and they're all talking about their businesses and stuff, Wall Street, and what have you. He might be a doctor, he got property. He might be a doctor, he running his business over there. He might be a doctor, ask him what he got to say about this world situation and that world situation, whatever. They enter their profession, but they all learning other things. These are things for conversation in the job force on that level. Well, looking at the situation in Iraq, it seems like it kind of just goes with your education. And sometimes, unfortunately, as some of our ulama said, in the negative sense, they think that it qualifies them to talk about Islam. They're supposed to learn Islam. When you're on that level, you're a doctor, a PhD, you have a bright mind. Learning Islam, for him, is not going to be like us. He has one of the sharpest minds. Top surgeon, you think his mind not sharp? He's sharp. Computer whiz, he's sharp. And he can learn. What's preventing him from learning Islam? I don't know. But the same thing that prevented him from learning should have prevented him from speaking about Islam. Like we see on some of these messages of shuras, all of the people with all of their degrees talking about Islam, you ask them, Wallahi, where did you ever learn Islam? And why don't you ever practice Islam since all you do is talk Islam? And people say, well, that's the brother is CEO of whatchamacallit's corporation. Maybe you didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. But he got to grow his beard just like everybody else. He got to go and sit in the masjid on the floor with who's teaching and learn his deen like everybody else. He going to sit up after work and read that book and go over and back and forth and question to make sure he understands just like everybody else. This is what's going to determine if what you had already is going to really be beneficial for Islam and the Muslims and really your own soul, is if you understand this deen. You have to learn this deen. Don't let whatever profession you're in or whatever status you've earned from Jahiliyyah prevent you from getting an understanding of this deen and a practice of this deen, because if you're prevented from that, then you're going to be prevented from all of the good. If you hold back from getting this, you're going to be hold back from acquiring the best good that you can acquire for yourself. So this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, there's a lot of wisdom in it for us if we reflect. But these points of understanding have to be corrected with us, as these misconceptions or misunderstandings were the case with the Sahaba, and the Prophet ﷺ clarified, he didn't clarify for them, because the Sahaba, in one sense, they were human beings like the rest of us, meaning they have the desires just like everybody else has. I'm from, the brother's going to get mad at me, but this is still a good example. I'm from North, the brother said. Wallahi, and the people say it with all of the pride in the world. No, North, once you leave America. Really, once you leave New Jersey, because they're Norths in other states. You from North? Man, I ain't never been to Delaware. What's that like? Somebody say, Delaware? You talking about, I'm from North, North. All right, we think that this thing that's in people
that make some people feel that they're better than people. This is just something with the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and he sent his Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam to deal what we have, the problems we have as human beings. So wherever you at, we might be saying that here on the East Coast. On the West Coast, the people might be saying, I'm from LA or something like that. I don't know, whatever has... Where you from? Portland? Come on, man. Somebody gonna be from Portland, man. We from LA or whatever. That people think they have something. And the same thing when people feel that he's a doctor. Maybe in some areas, somebody might not be a doctor. He might be a drug dealer, con man. But he's coming off. So when you see him, he got all of the money, all of the worldly possessions, women, whatever. Whatever you doing, he just said, what you do? I'm an accountant. Oh, they must pay you like $1,000 a week or something. MashaAllah, may Allah increase you or something. You need anything? Because he making all that money, he looking down at your profession. Other people might say, you're a drug dealer. He's just saying, how much money you need anything? So this thing that we have as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam to get our hearts right and to get our minds right and our understanding right and to save ourselves from following our own desires that as human beings follow. These are only examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam is giving us, but we have to always take these examples and apply them to our situation and to our circumstances so that they'll benefit us as they benefited them. Their case was they was asking about the lineage because them is a tribal thing. Here, we're not in tribes. Things are different than that. It's what city you from. Or maybe if you was in LA, even if you all from LA, it'll be what group you in. Or what gang you in. Or whatever like that. But all this stuff, you have to look at it in light of this deen. What profession you in, what city you in, how much money you got, how big your house is, how much the people like you, how many followings you have, all that stuff don't count. Until you have an understanding of this deen and a practice. Until you have sincerity for Allah and obedience to the Kitab and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our understanding of this deen and purify our hearts from following our own desires and make us die on sincerity and obedience. Understanding and practice. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there were any questions or comments on this hadith or in general. InshaAllah, we're going to save all the questions from during the week to the weekend. InshaAllah. So if there were some questions during this week, the brothers feel comfortable asking them now. InshaAllah. And the questions during this week, if they want to feel comfortable, save them to the weekend, inshaAllah ta'ala, where we might try to handle some of the questions, inshaAllah ta'ala. Yes. About the... I'm not hearing the whole question. Okay. Whenever we discuss, the brother's asking about the gatekeeper of the hellfire, why is he so repulsive looking? All of the affairs of the unseen is no why. We heard and we believe. Because it's unseen. You ask me why, I'm going to be lying. Or speaking from my own desires because I ain't seen the hellfire or Jannah. And I hope I don't have to see the hellfire and I see Jannah. Nobody can speak about the affairs of the unseen except with a text. Allah said, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said. And as the ulama explained, the understanding of those texts are the reading of those texts. Like you say, what does that mean? Read it again. That's what it means. Why is that like that? Read that again. That's why it's like that. This is our belief system. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given one the intellect to comprehend and understand and know about the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given a human being that ability. The only thing we know about the unseen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about the unseen. What Jannah look like? You're either going to say Allah said, Prophet ﷺ said, or you lying, speaking from your own desires. So when it comes to the affairs of the unseen, then the only thing that we can say is We hear and we believe. Now this is the same thing with the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like some of the people ask, why Allah do this, why Allah do that? He does what He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not asked why, we're going to be asked why. Why we was living lives of insincerity and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We're going to be asked why. Our question, inshallah, is to clarify what we need to be on top of. What we need to do to be right with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the question of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the most noble from amongst us, Ya Rasulullah? Who is who? So we know who to be with, or like, and who not to be with, and not like. So every question, inshallah ta'ala, is to clarify what we're supposed to be on. That's going to benefit us in the hereafter. So when it comes to all of the affairs of belief, or the affairs of the unseen, all we can say is we hear and we obey, and the explanation is the reading of the text. And you find the aqidah of the Muslims, that when they're laying out the aqidah, their statements are based on just straight from the ayat or the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I missed you, you're going to say something. تفضل. What light should the name, my name, the Imam of the Masjid, and the Masjid's name be used? As sometimes the people say, the Masjid is going to do this, or the Imam is going to have the brothers do that, or whatever. How should the people use the name of this Masjid, or myself, in a proper context? I think it should be used in light of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادُ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. Like brother said, Imam going to do a khutbah on you. How you know the unseen? Stop saying what you don't have no knowledge of. And even sometimes people say, that khutbah was on you, ah. Those ayat of khutbah is always, alhamdulillah, ayat from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. We're talking about that's for everybody. How that ayat only for him? How that hadith only for him? Allah, I remember was doing the Surah Al-Munafiqun. Somebody said, why are you talking about Masjid Hiram people? They ain't munafiq. I said, akhi, the Surah is for guidance for humanity, all times and generations. The people, they shouldn't speak about that, the Masjid is going to do this, that, unless they speak it from knowledge. For example, your child get busted stealing from the Muslims in this Masjid, he's not going to be able to come back in no more. Somebody say, hey man, look like your boy been sneaking around a little bit, man. You better watch him. They're going to kick him out the masjid. All right, if somebody's saying that, then he's aware that he's heard that policy being mentioned, or he's heard some of the consequences of some of the people before, and he'd be speaking with some knowledge. So the issue is that he's going to speak with some knowledge of what goes on here, or he's going to be quiet, or he's going to speak from his own desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Save him from speaking from our own desires without knowledge. The people, inshallah ta'ala, if they represent the masjid, any masjid, they should feel that if they're on their best conduct, they represent the masjid. Not when you act them up. All of us slip. If you ain't doing bad, you don't want to say, they say, who are you? I'm one of the Muslims, man. May Allah forgive me. You don't want to say who you are if you know you're not doing right. But to be saying they representing this, like it's a case I'm supposed to be dealing with soon. So one of the brothers incarcerated down south, he's causing all kind of problems in the prison till the brothers drove him out. And now he's at the new place starting up to trouble again. The chaplain, I just happen to know him, went to school together. He asked him, what in the world are you doing? He says, I'm representing my sheikh and my teacher, Abu Muslim. Who? So the brother called me. He said, man, I thought I knew you better than that. I said, wallahi, I hope you know me better than that. In the beginning, I don't know what he's talking about. I thought I knew you better than that, man. This brother down here says he's your representative, his name is such and such, he's doing this and that and that. You authorizing that? Nah, I ain't nowhere in the world co-signing authorizing that. But people sometimes, they just speak from their own desires and without speaking from knowledge. And I don't know if people are using it to gain some fame for themselves or to make people look up to them or something like that. But really, if you want to speak in the name of the Muslims, period, you want to represent Islam. You want to speak in the name of the Muslims, you want to represent Islam. You don't want to be on TV. Like I was mentioning before, when the Iraq situation, TV's calling us, radio's calling us, I ain't going. I want somebody to represent Islam on a level to represent Islam. I don't think I'm on that level to be representing Islam like that. Going on TV, talking about the Iraq situation, how am I standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that? You want, when you represent Islam, you want to feel like if I can represent it, then I want to represent it. If I can't represent it in that situation, I want to represent it. Sometimes if the issue is, you know, you in the bus, at the bus stop or something, you just happen over here, you know, everybody's conversating, and somebody says, yeah, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I've been really thinking about Islam, you know, but, you know, I don't know how to approach, you know, one of the Muslims or what or this, but, you know, I want to learn somebody's Islam. You got a friend, you know somebody, this, that. All right, the Muslim is standing right there, a Muslim. All right, you know, he's going to represent us, tell him the basics about Islam and stuff like that. Probably any Muslim could represent Islam on that level. But sometimes representation of Islam is calling for a little more than that. Like with the example you give in certain circumstances, how is this situation going to be handled? When a messenger going to do this? You don't know. What you talking about? So everybody, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, you have to see on what level you have to represent Islam. And if you feel that you qualified, capable to represent Islam in that capacity, and you're ready to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that capacity, then fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and represent Islam. But if you know you ain't got no business going out that far, don't do that. Like we were mentioning yesterday's class, the case of one of the imams. He doesn't know how to recite the Quran. Somebody chooses him as the imam. He's supposed to say, I decline. No, you the imam. How in the world am I going to stand up for? I don't know how to recite the Quran. No, it sounds like you recited good to me. Yeah, but the one who know how to recite the Quran is going to tell you, I don't have the slightest idea of how the Quran is supposed to be recited. I can't accept that. So the people have to represent Islam to the level that they're qualified to represent Islam. And all of us are going to feel that we're a little less, hopefully, a little less qualified than we are. Because if you really on this level, and you look at yourself on this level, whenever you go to as far as you see yourself, you'll never go past where you are. But on the opposite, like it seems like may be the case, if you're on this level, you pushing yourself all the way up here, trying to represent on the level you're not, then you're going to be in trouble. Because you're going past what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits you, and don't say what you have no knowledge of, indeed the hearing, the sight, and the intellect, or I'll be questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most best. والحمد لله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.